stage. Thank you, Gavin. Thanks, mate. There's just a little musical interlude there for you, moving out of the greeting time. And actually, probably the young people would recognise that that track is called Selah. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that tonight. But before we do, what I thought, it's always good to start a message on a bit of a light note. And I want to share something that, don't worry, I won't embarrass you, Alicia. It does relate to tonight's message, and it's called 20 Ways. I won't read all 20 because some of them are a bit not real good. 20 Ways to Maintain a Healthy Level of Insanity. And you may have seen this email, but it cracked me up when I read it. The first one is, at lunchtime, sit in your parked car with sunglasses on and point a hairdryer at passing cars and see what they do. The second one was, page yourself over the intercom and don't disguise your voice. I've actually done that. Four, put your garbage can on your desk and label it the in tray. Another one is, put decaf in the coffee maker for 3 weeks. Once everyone has gotten over their caffeine addictions, switch to espresso. As often as possible, skip rather than walk. 10 is, order a diet water whenever you go out to eat and try and maintain a serious face. Who's done that? That's shocking. Specify that that as you drive through, as you order your drive-through, it is to go. 14 is, go to a poetry recital and ask why the poems don't rhyme. 5 days in advance, tell your friends you can't attend their party because you're not in the mood. I know that happens. When the money comes out of an ATM, scream, I won, I won! and then, that's a beauty. I haven't done that one yet. I dare you to do it next time. You have already done it. when leaving the zoo, start running towards the parking lot yelling, run for your lives, they're loose. So, yeah, anyway, I don't know why I'm using that, but anyway. Tonight we're talking about maintaining a healthy level of sanity, not insanity. And part of tonight, what I want to do is talk about the word Selah. Now, if I say Selah, and it sounds a little bit like Sheila, it's the Australian way of doing it, okay? So just bear with me. I'm not that learned, but it's actually, I'm pretty sure it's Selah. Is that right? Selah? Is it wrong? Well, how do you say it, Queen? Selah. Oh, a bit of an accent there. I actually went to the online dictionary and pressed the pronunciation one where it actually says it for you, and it sounded like Selah. So I'll go with that. And you may have noticed the word around a fair bit lately. If you read the Psalms, you would notice that the word is, you know, dispersed in the scriptures, the word Selah. And it's also just been recently made cool by Hillsong, the United team Hillsong, and they've got a few tracks on their latest album with that word. It's actually appears 74 times in all in the scriptures. And have you ever wondered the meaning? Does anyone know what the meaning is? Wait a little bit. Okay, isn't that interesting? Wait a little bit. Pause. Think on this. It's great. The dictionary actually says its meaning is uncertain. It must mean there's a number of meanings for the word. Some interpret the word as meaning silence or pause. Others say end. Other people say allow to strain. Some people interpret it as piano. Interesting, eh? And then another one said a division. But for tonight's purposes, what we'll do is we'll go with a couple of words, and it's to pause and ponder, okay? That's what we want the meaning to be tonight, okay? To pause and ponder. And I want to take a little bit of time to reflect on how well we do this, how well we do the pausing and the pondering in our lives. Because my sneaking suspicion is that, I probably shouldn't say this for you, but for me, I don't do that real good. I don't do pausing and pondering really good. And I think that God would actually want us to do it, want me to do it a whole heap more than what I do. So tonight, when I say pausing and pondering, I'm actually not talking about goofing off or doing nothing. I'm actually talking about intentionally stopping to breathe out the things that are going on in our lives that may be holding us back, and to take deep breaths of God in. So I want to ask you a question. It's a pretty reflective little message tonight, so I want you to be all reflective. I'm going to ask questions along the way. Have you ever, and here's number one, have you ever got to points in your life when you're just downright flat, where there's nothing else in the tank? Have you ever had times when it's just hard to be motivated, hard to get motivated? Have you had times when you question the point to it all? Or what about even your effectiveness? Like, you might look at your job and you think, man, what the heck am I doing? I'm not making any significant effect here. And I wanted to share a little bit of my journey. I was there 4 weeks ago. Should it stay up, eh? I was there 4 weeks ago. And 4 weeks ago, I came back from my holidays. And I was pretty flat. In fact, really flat. And, you know, I got reflecting, and I think that last year was pretty full-on for me. And I know that it wasn't just full-on for me, but it was full-on for quite a few of us. And I want to say, without, you know, wanting you to think that my job, what I do, is more important or harder than what you do, it just was my experience over last year. I felt like it was tough. What I did and what I was a part of was tough. So please don't hear like, you know, oh, my job's more important and I do harder work. But I limped into my holidays. I was wounded. And at the end of the 4 weeks, it's kind of like you're supposed to be well and truly refreshed by 4 weeks holiday. And you might do holidays really well and you only need 1 week, 2 weeks, but we did a course and the guy actually told us take three, because the first week you're still pretty much at work. The second week you're only just starting to wind down, and the third week is when you really start to relax. So I thought 4 weeks, man, should be right. I've done it right this year and I should have a good break and I'll be fine. But at the end of the 4 weeks, man, I was at a point where I just didn't want to come back to work. And it scared the heck out of me, because for the first time in 12 years working here at the church, it's the first time that I felt like that. And I couldn't believe why I was feeling like that, because it's like, man, you know, I'm usually pretty strong and I can get through most things, but I was really flat. And so it's really important, I guess, when you're flat, is to ask why. You know, what's going on? What were the things that, you know, at the end of 4 weeks, you're still flat? What's going on? And so I got reflecting. And I think one of the biggest things was, and I've already said it, is that we had a massive year last year. And it's probably pretty hard to just put my finger on different things, but it was just a culmination of a whole heap of stuff. I was living at an unsustainable pace. I think I had probably too many hats on, trying to you know how you try and juggle too many things. And, you know, there are issues, believe it or not, there are issues going down in ministry here at South Perth, and they have taken a toll. They've taken a toll on the ministry team, they've taken a toll on the leaders, and they've taken a toll on me. And the other thing is, like, I think what I did was I let some disciplines go. And you probably, young people, would have heard me speak about, you know, your gauges, your different gauges in your life. You have a mental, physical, spiritual, emotional gauges. I know Penny got this all the time. And when one of those is low, it affects every other one of them. And I let a couple of those gauges get low in my life last year. And one of those was that I actually stopped going to the gym. And I don't know about you, but to be physically active makes such a huge difference. To suck air in and to just, just do physical activity is a very good thing, a very healthy thing. I let the gym go. I got sick. I got an unbelievable throat infection. And that meant that you just get down on yourself and you don't end up going to the gym, and that gets put aside. Then my journaling wasn't the same as what it was the year before, and I let some, you know, my time with God was something that got neglected. And then all of a sudden your gauges are all heading south, and you end up becoming more and more susceptible to the enemy's attack. So that was some things that were going on for me. And then when I came back 4 weeks ago, I just wasn't in a real good way. And I remember sitting at my desk on the Monday, the first day back. It was the 22nd of January. And I still, it's amazing how just little points in your life you hold on to. And I sat at my desk and I opened my Bible to, the new journals had arrived, and I was pretty excited about that, the new journals, a little less reading and that kind of thing. And I opened up my journal, fresh page, and I thought, God, I just need you to speak to me, hey. I'm not in a good way. And so I opened up to Job, and I began to read Job. And if you want a reality check, go there, you know, go and read Job. That's mega reality check. And I waded through those chapters that were on that day's reading. And I came to this little oasis. And I just want to read that to you. It's Job 36:16. And this is what God gave me. You know, and I kind of like feeling a little bit, I'm not anything like Job. I'm not having lost my family and all the things that he'd lost. But it was just amazing how God just reached into my situation, and his deep love for me reached into my little crisis and gave me this awesome gift. Because in these words, you know, in this, I guess, desert of words, as I'm ploughing through the chapter for that day, this little oasis appeared. It's Job 36:16. It says, "He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place, free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food." And I just sat back in my chair, and I had a Selah moment. I paused and I pondered. And all I could say to God was, just thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you so much. That's all I can say. And you know, what I did right after that was I began to pray that I would experience the reality of this in 2007. But I knew that deep down, you know how God gives you something, but you kind of have a part to play as well. I knew deep down that some things had to change for me. So out of tonight's message, I hopefully you'll hear a little bit of my heart and some of the things that God's been saying to me, but it encouraged you in your journey as well. Your journey of taking the time out to see God as you do your life. And you know, I am so convinced that God wants all of us to operate out of this place, this spacious place. You know, we read in the scriptures about God leading us by still waters, and you know, Mary and Martha and sitting at the feet of Jesus. And we read about, God is like a hen and he just wants to gather us in. He wants to spend time with us. We're like chicks and he's like a hen. And I'm so, so convinced that he wants us to do that. He wants us to operate out of this spacious place. And it's a place where you pause and you ponder. It's a place where you breathe. And I'm certain, because I've experienced this from time to time in my life, I've experienced this, and it's such a beautiful place. And when we operate out of this place, it says there, what does it say? It says, free from restriction. You begin to feel this freedom, and you begin to operate in this freedom from restriction, but there's also comfort and blessing there. So what is your life like? What's your life like at the moment? You know, it's the beginning of a new year. We're in the second month, midway through. What's life like for you at the moment? You're feeling flat. Is Are you already in the groove of another year, or you're on a roller coaster and it's already out of control? And I'm absolutely sure that you guys know already just how you're aware of how fast and how frantic life can be. And I just want to stop at this point now just to say to the young people, I hope you don't switch off for this message, because, you know, as young people, you probably think, oh, I've got heaps of space, I'm a uni student. But I look at the way you guys live your lives, and it's such a fast pace. You're adrenaline junkies. You're so busy. You're always up here, and sometimes you've got to come back down here to, you know, fill the wells up. So this message is for you. I want us to focus on two things. First of all, I'd love you just to enter in now to just a time where we practice pausing and pondering. And I want us just to, if you want to, you feel comfortable, just to close your eyes. Just focus on your breathing. Just hear yourself breathing. Hear yourself saying the name of God. I'm just going to give you a bit of time, and then I'm going to ask you some reflective questions. Do you ever find yourself moments away from losing it? What's going on inside of you right now? It's taken up the space in your head. Are you concerned about something? Are you angry? Are you anxious or stressed out? What's going on in you right now? If you were really honest, what would you say? What is it that you need to breathe out right at this point in time? I want you to take a few moments just to breathe those things out. Give them to God. Lives can be so busy, so noisy. When they're busy and when they're noisy, we miss God. The second thing I want us to do now is, as we breathe out, we also need to breathe in deep breaths of God. It's interesting, and as I was preparing for this, I reflected on the last time Jesus cried out the name of his dad. If you go to Mark 15:37, it says this, very simply, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. And that, for me, was deeply impacting, because what effectively was going on there for Jesus was that he was crying out the name of his Father. And if we read a little bit earlier, we hear Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. And I just thought, imagine being there, just to hear that last breath, that unbelievable breath. The breath that divides history. And as we read on in Mark 15, we're fortunate enough to hear the recorded response of a man who was there. And in Mark 15:39 it says this, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. And you know, out of that breathless moment in time, out of the pain, out of the despair, and out of the death that was experienced during that time, we have two men breathing out the name of God. One breath carries the sin of the world, and the other breath is a sigh of relief. The centurion breathes a sigh of relief and he says, surely this man is the Son of God. I found him. What an amazing thing to pause and ponder. To pause and ponder the fact that Jesus' breath was his last breath, physical breath. But it meant that the centurion was able to take his first breath. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that at that point, the centurion obviously found his Saviour. He found Jesus. And salvation came to his house that day. And you know what? What a beautiful picture of salvation. And we actually celebrate that every time we take communion. And communion is such an awesome time just to pause and to ponder. And it's a chance for us to reflect on these things. To reflect on the fact that God is wooing us. Wooing us from our busyness and distress to a spacious place, free from restriction, to the comfort of his table laden with choice food. Tonight, the communion table is laden with choice food, and I want us to go to that place. I want us to all go to that place tonight. The place where we can just breathe in deep breaths of God. And be reminded that as we slow down, it's when we slow down that we see God and that we become again aware that it's through Him that we live, that we move, and we have our being. So let me pray. Lord, you are wooing us tonight to that spacious place, a place where we can breathe. Where we can breathe in deep breaths of you. My prayer for us, for each of us here tonight, is that we would experience that spacious place tonight and right through 2007. That place where freedom prevails, that place where we experience comfort and blessing. Lord, may we in 2007 operate and minister from this place. Help us to be wise in the way that we spend our time. Help us be wise in the decisions that we make. And Lord, help us to make it a priority to pursue you more vigorously throughout 2007. Thank you, Lord, for dying so that we can live. You're awesome. Every time we reflect and every time we ponder the cross, what a beautiful place. A place where we can breathe. A place where we can give you the things that weigh us down. A place where we can be free. Holy Spirit, as we now go and as we share communion, and as we remember what you did for us on the cross, as we remember that day in history when you breathed your last, may you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit and encourage us to always to stop, Lord, to stop and to see you, to stop and to breathe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love you, just to make your way over to the tables. We have bigger bits of bread there. For the people that are maybe a little bit more conscious about other people holding your bread, there's some that have been cut up by somebody who cleaned their hands. If you like, you can grab a chunk out of one of the other ones that's there if you're not too concerned about that. But I want you to go and just spend time in God's presence, breathing, okay? An opportunity for us to pause and to ponder. And then when you're ready, come back, and that'll be pretty much it for tonight. So feel free to go. Enjoy. We just want to create a space where we can continue to do that, to continue to pause and ponder. But I just wanted to say that one of the good things for me while I was going through that bit of a flat patch was I was able to come, and one good thing was I came to John, and because I was really worried about how John would feel with me, you know, being flat and not wanting to come back to work. Because I was thinking that if I was the boss and my employees or the people on my team didn't want to come back to work, I'd be thinking, oh man, what's going on here? But I actually thought, oh, I'm going to come in and I'm going to talk to John about that. And I came in on a Thursday, and I just got to share. I just shared what was going on. And I think it's really important that when we're going through those spells, that we chat it out, we talk it out, and we don't try and do that. We don't try and do it on our own. So there might be people here, you might be here tonight and you're going through a bit of a tough patch. And we just want to say that we're here, we want to journey with you, we want to pray with you, and please take the opportunity to do that tonight. John would love to do that with you, Darren, those of us on the ministry team. Speak to your friends, the people you've come with, because it's important to share the journey. So I would love to pray with you. Don't feel like you have to, but that's what I'm here for. I'm here to journey and here to help. So chat it through. And can I encourage you to take this into 2007? Use this, I don't know how you can use this as a reminder, but make sure you schedule through your year intentionally times where you pause and you ponder. Times when you go, I just need to breathe. I need to breathe out the stuff that's going on in my life, but I need deep, deep breaths of God. And remember that we can do that every day. We can do that with our journals, with our reading of God's Word, which is just so important, those daily practices that we can do. So thanks, guys. I hope tonight has helped in some way. And feel free to come for prayer if that's what you would like to do. Cafe will be open. Hang around, enjoy community, and thanks for being here tonight.